providing you with informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Linda Mitry. Oral arguments have been scheduled for Monday in San Francisco, where the full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will reconsider a ruling to postpone the state's recall election. The hearing comes after the three-judge panel from the same court ruled to postpone the October 7th election in order to update voting machines. A ruling isn't expected to be made until at least one day after oral arguments are concluded. Isabel was a deadly and damaging hurricane. Officials say the storm killed at least 23 people, most of them in Virginia. 14 people died there. Motor vehicle accidents and falling trees were responsible for most of the deaths. Nearly 250,000 people were forced out of their homes as storm surges approaching 11 feet swamped the coastlines of North Carolina and Virginia. Power company people say electricity was cut to more than 5.5 million homes and businesses. Isabel is comparatively punchless as a tropical depression moving into Canada. Police SWAT teams continue looking for a gunman who shot a doctor at a hospital in Baldwin Park, California, Friday afternoon. The search is being conducted inside the Kaiser Permanente Hospital. The facility was evacuated when law enforcement squads descended on the hospital and SWAT teams began their floor-by-floor search for the shooting suspect. Witnesses say the gunman had an assault rifle and was pushing a walker or wheelchair, but police have yet to confirm those reports. There has been no information provided on the condition of the doctor who was shot. Tokyo has been rocked by a strong earthquake. Several people were injured in the Japanese capital by the 5.5 quake. The epicenter was in the Pacific Ocean, east of Tokyo, about 50 miles below the surface. Japan's official Kyoto News Agency reports seven people were injured when part of a temple wall collapsed in the center of the capital city.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor. Because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Iraq's former defense minister is in U.S. custody. Sultan Hashim Ahmed surrendered to U.S. troops in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul. His surrender fuels speculation that other top officials, including Saddam Hussein, may be in the area. Ahmed was seen at Saddam's side in video footage reportedly shot in Baghdad the day U.S. forces rolled into the Iraqi capital. Mosul is the same city where Uday and Qusay Hussein were killed by U.S. troops in July.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The California gubernatorial recall election is still, at least at this point, scheduled for October 7th. But that could change after an 11-member panel from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals listens to oral arguments this afternoon in a case brought by civil rights groups. The latest on the story from correspondent Don Andrews.
The 11-member panel must decide if a ruling made by a three-judge panel last Monday to postpone the election until March due to hanging chad concerns should be upheld or overturned. Legal expert Greg Walston says en banc hearings like today's are rare.
It's something that doesn't happen very frequently.
Walston says the fact that the full court voluntarily decided to hold the en banc hearing is an optimistic sign for those who want the recall to go forward on October 7th.
I've never looked at the statistics, but I think that the people who lost the three-judge panel have a small advantage going into the en banc argument.
The full ninth is not expected to rule immediately, but is expected to make a decision promptly in order to give the losing side an opportunity to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court before October 7th. Don Andrews, Sacramento.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And greeting patriots from coast to coast, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. When should our tax dollars go to private for-profit corporations? You know, it's interesting. It's very often the conservatives, the cons, who say, our taxes are money taken at the barrel of a gun, at the edge of a barrel of a... It's forced. Well, yeah, I suppose. No, actually, yeah, okay. I'll agree. Tax. If you don't pay your taxes, they come after you. If you refuse to pay them, they will put you in jail. If you try to resist, they can shoot you. But is that unique to taxes? If a company sues you and you refuse to pay, now we don't have debtors' prison in the United States anymore, but it is possible. We do use the force of law to enforce things like debt, like corporate debt. So there is the force of law there. It's not quite as forcible, though, and overt as the force of taxation. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we have to think very carefully. And, you know, occasionally conservatives make a little bit of sense. Here's one of their suggestions, that we need to think very carefully about what our tax dollars are going for. So the question then is, when should our tax dollars be handed to private for-profit corporations? When should they be used to enrich private enterprise? This gets to the core, to the very heart of how American democracy, how free enterprise is supposed to work, and how it's being corrupted by these so-called conservatives who are pursuing this radical agenda that is really a new form of aristocracy, a new neo-feudalism. They are aggressively imposing this on the United States of America. And in Iraq, they have such a blank slate, they've been able to pull the thing out and just say, wham, here it is. Today's Washington Post. The article, the headline, Economic Overhaul for Iraq. Baghdad, September 21. The U.S.-led occupation authority here has ordered the overhaul of fundamental elements of Iraq's socialist economy and instituted wide-ranging free market reforms. Now, well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Free market? I mean, isn't that a phrase that means, like, something positive? Like, something free? Well, no, it turns out George Orwell would be so, I was going to say proud of today's conservatives. I think probably a more appropriate response, though, is that he would be so horrified because he saw this coming. Those of you who haven't read 1984, I encourage you to read it. It's a very dark book. I read it when I was a teenager, and I remember about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I thought I had to reread that, you know, because I couldn't remember most of the details. I just remembered the overview, and I was on a trip to Australia, and I had it with me. And usually at night, I read to try and get myself to sleep. And I started reading 1984 before I went to sleep every night, and the combination of reading George Orwell's 1984 and jet lag, I was having these wild, dark dreams of living in this world where the, you know, Big Brother had taken over and perpetual war for perpetual peace and, you know, all this. I had to stop reading it about halfway through. I had to finish it when I came back because it was just too much. But for those of you who like that, I mean, I don't like to go to intense movies for that matter. Some folks, I think, just have different intensity, emotional intensity thresholds, and that's fine. But the point is that this phrase, instituted wide-ranging free market reforms, sounds good, but it means something completely different. What it means is we get to take from you on our terms, and we end up owning you. And if you don't like it, we've got the guns. You say, what? Well, let me finish reading you the story. We'll start over. Economic overhaul for Iraq, today's Washington Post. The U.S.-led occupation authority here has ordered the overhaul of fundamental elements of Iraq's socialist economy and instituted wide-ranging free market reforms that will allow full foreign ownership in every sector except oil, U.S. and Iraqi officials said today. The new policy enacted on Saturday by U.S. Administrator L. Paul Bremer allows foreign firms to enter and potentially dominate key elements of the economy from banking to manufacturing. The imposition of free market reforms in Iraq has long been a goal of the Bush administration. Basically, they're saying the entire nation's for sale. Now, you would think that selling off a nation right after it had been devastated in a war would be somewhat unfair. I mean, do you really think that, for example, the local electric company in Baghdad is worth right now what it'll be worth when it's put back together? And it's being put back together with our tax dollars? Somehow I think not. But the company that owns your electric lines may end up owning Baghdad's. This goes on, and the issue here, the issue is that the core concept of the conservative agenda is neo-feudalism. In the American Heritage Dictionary in 1987, they defined a word. They said this word means the merging of state and business interests combined with belligerent nationalism. For almost 200 years in the United States, there was this very clear understanding that when we the people get together and do something, we the people collectively get together and say, okay, we're going to We're going to administer, we're going to provide for our own safety. We're going to have a police department. We're going to provide for protection from fire. We're going to have a fire department. Ben Franklin organized one of the first in the United States in Philadelphia in the mid-1750s. We're going to create, we're going to protect our air. We're going to create an agency that's going to make sure that nobody can foul our air. We're going to do something together because it has to do with us. We're going to build an army to protect us from people who might want to harm us. There was this absolute consensus that we do those things because there is a good and legitimate reason to. Because it's us. It's we the people. And when we do those things, we must be answerable to us. It must be done in a way that's transparent. It's being done with our tax dollars, after all. Taken from us, as the libertarians like to point out, at the barrel of a gun. It better be well used, and it better be used in a way that's clear and open and honest and transparent, where any of us, ideally even without needing to resort to the Freedom of Information Act, can go in and say, what's the details on this thing? How's this money being used? And if we don't like it, or we think it's a scandal, or we think somebody's inappropriately being enriched, we, the people, through our elected representatives, can say, no, we're going to pull a plug on this thing. This is a matter of public record. No, we're not going to allow it. This is the core concept of American democracy, of government of, by, and for we the people. When the founders started this nation, they understood that there were three historic tyrannies. The tyranny of warlord kings who kept people in constant warfare in order to keep them from overthrowing the king, basically. In feudal Europe in the old days, local kings would have perpetual wars with other nearby kings at low grade, continuous low-grade conflict. They would have deals with each other. Kings never went after kings. They all, you know, it was just their soldiers went after their soldiers. Why? To keep the people going. So there were warlord kings, who were one of the three historic tyrants that Thomas Jefferson and the other founders clearly identified in their early writings in the 1770s. The second were popes and theocracies. Those who said that they were ruling because God told them to. This is what the Bible said. This is how it's got to be. This is the we know because, you know, somebody came along and said, God told me this. And the Pope led us into the Crusades in the 11th century. And into the Inquisition. And on and on and on. And the third type of tyrants that our founders clearly identified and said, no, we are not going to allow this in our government. We're not going to allow it. The third kind of tyrants were an historic form of government called feudalism. Feudalism could be defined as rule by the local rich. As central, and feudalism is always in a dynamic tension with central government. As the kings got weaker, the feudal lords got more powerful. As the feudal lords got less powerful, as they became weaker, the kings became more powerful. The Magna Carta was all about the battle between the King of England and the feudal lords. It had nothing to do with granting human rights to people like you and me. It was not for the serfs. They were still the property of the feudal lords. The Magna Carta was a deal between the wealthy feudal lords and the king. It was the equivalent of a contract between today's multinational corporations and our government. Go back and read your history. And so we see that there were these three historic tyrannies that had ruled people, and the founders came along and said, we reject all three. After 7,000 years of human civilization, one little experiment in Athens, Greece, that lasted fewer than 300 years in democracy, we're going to go back, we're going to take what we learned from that, what we learned from the Iroquois Nation, what we learned from everything else we've been able to study, what John Locke had to contribute, and we're going to create a government that we own. We the people. And we will hold the power. Not those corporations. And that word, by the way, of the merging of state and business interests is fascism. Stay tuned.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Not only have they decided to sell off all of Iraq to foreign owners and foreign corporations, but the new economic policy will slash Iraq's top tax rate for individuals and businesses to 15% and declare a tax holiday for the rest of this year. The conservatives are on the march in Iraq. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, offering you the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Awaken, friends. Awaken. They are taking our country away from us. They are taking the world. They used to be us. It used to be the United States government was we the people. Now we've got a government of, by, and for CEOs, with corporate CEOs as president and vice president, corporate officers and corporate shills walking the halls of Congress, six corporate lobbyists for every single member of the House and Senate, visiting them every single day with pockets full of cash. Some Iraqi businessmen, the Washington Post notes, with no explicit irony. Some Iraqi businessmen have expressed concern that well-capitalized foreign firms will enjoy an unfair advantage and siphon profits out of the country. Gee, could it be? Direct ownership? Full, immediate remittance to the host country of all profits, dividends, interests, and royalties? Privatizing everything that the Independent in London has an article on this also. Privatizing everything from electricity and telecommunications to pharmaceuticals and engineering. Dropping trade tariffs to show that Iraq is a country that embraces free trade. Don't you get it? This is about the corporate takeover, not just of the United States of America. This is about the corporate takeover of the world.
Oh, it's some kind of conspiracy nut. He's talking about the corporations taking over.
Oh, yeah? They're actually quite upfront about it. Under NAFTA rules, a corporation can change the laws in the United States of America. It has happened. Chapter 13 of NAFTA, check it out. The World Trade Organization, corporations can sue countries and force them to change their laws. Laws made by you and me, we the people. That's outrageous. It's over the top. We are losing our nation, my friends. It's time to take it back. This is the democracy itself is being threatened by these so-called conservatives. True conservatives like Dwight Eisenhower and Barry Goldwater are rolling over in their graves. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program today. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Ken in Mount Clemens, Michigan is on the line. Ken, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Ken.
I had a question. Last Friday, I believe it was, you were talking about the letter that Bush sent to Speaker of the House and to Cheney declaring that now he was going to enter Iraq.
Right.
And which, what was that that you were reading it from? Where did you find that? How could I get a copy of that?
Oh, it's a public document. He it was a letter he wrote to the Speaker of the House and to Congress, and it's published in the Federal Register. And if you, right after this break, I'll give you a couple of keywords that you should be able to find it on Google in 10 seconds.
Okay.
Because we got a commercial break coming up here in just a second. But basically what it was, the law was passed back in September of 2002, just in time. It was the October surprise. Actually, I think it was October 16th was the law was passed. The October surprise that threw the November 2002 elections, allowed the Republicans to paint the Democrats as war wimps. And then in February or March, when Bush decided he was going to actually use the power, he had to notify Congress. And he wrote a letter saying, I'm doing this because of Iraq's links to 9/11. And that was when he lied to Congress. And there's many who say that he should be held accountable for it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
We're pleased to announce tonight that tentative contract agreements have been reached between Yale University and Locals 34 and 35.
With these words, New Haven Mayor John DeStefano announced the end of a three-week strike at Yale University. The contracts cover two locals of the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees International Union, whose previous labor agreements expired a full 19 months ago. On Friday afternoon, a combined 4,000 workers in both unions ratified the eight-year deals by nearly unanimous margins, promising years of peace on a campus accustomed to labor strife. Under the deals, monthly pensions will nearly double and wages will increase by 44% through January of 2010. Retroactive increases will bring workers an average bonus of over $2,500. The workers return to work today for the first time since the fall semester began.
Don't use a sick day for 6 months. Win $300. That's the proposal from the Vancouver Coastal Health Authority, which manages British Columbia's largest hospitals, clinics, and nursing homes. In an attempt to cut costs, the authorities told all its employees, including nurses and medical technicians, that if they don't take sick days between now and mid-March, they'll be entered in a $300 raffle. The idea doesn't sit well with the workers, though, many of whom call the promotion irresponsible as it increases the chance of endangering already sick patients.
While U.S. labor unions continue to mull over a crowded field of Democratic presidential candidates, organized labor's top official says he'd like another shot at a four-year term. John Sweeney recently announced his intention to run for re-election as president of the AFL-CIO when his term expires in 2005. Sweeney first came to power in 1995 and has twice been reelected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What are we gonna do with all these criminals? What are we gonna do about all these crimes? Where are we gonna put all this anger? Such a strange wind blowing and such strange, strange times.
And it goes into Bush clips. All this anger, it's really interesting what the cons are up to with their focus groups. We're going to have a conservative alert in the next hour. I'm going to share that with you. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. For Ken in Mount Pleasant, who asked how to find the letter from George Bush to the United States Congress saying that, well, here, he says, Dear Mr. Speaker, consistent with section blah-de-blah-de-blah, I determined that Reliance by the United States on further diplomatic and other peaceful means alone will neither adequately protect the national security, nor protect the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq, blah, blah. Acting pursuant to the Constitution and Public Law 107-243 is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Sincerely, George W. Bush. And if you want to find it on the web, go to Google and put in the word sincerely, followed by, you know, because that'll get you the fact that he signed this thing with the word sincerely, right? It'll pull that out. Followed by a phrase with a quote, in quotes. In other words, put sincerely, space, quotation mark, necessary actions, plural, actions against terrorists, plural. I'm sorry, against international terrorists, plural, and close quote. And that'll bring you up several different links. The very top one, in fact, has a link right to the original document on the State Department website. That's probably the easiest way to find it. So I hope that helps, Ken, for those of you who are looking for that. George Bush telling the United States Congress back before he started this war that he was attacking Iraq because of Iraq's involvement in 9/11. Now, what got me started on this whole thing about when should our tax dollars go to private for-profit corporations? And this whole feudal private conservative agenda was this thing on CBS on 60 Minutes last night where they, I think it's a replay apparently, where they talked about the Halliburton deal. From the CBS.com website, All in the Family, it's called, the U.S. will spend approximately $25 billion, that's of your tax dollars and mine, to repair Iraq by the end of the year, and billions will be needed after that. Almost all of that money will go to private contractors. So your tax dollars and my tax dollars are going to private corporations. It turns out that the largest recipient, or one of the largest recipients of our tax dollars taken from us by force, as the conservatives love to point out, is the corporation that to this day is paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to Dick Cheney. Now, keep in mind, Dick Cheney was a guy who never in his life had any experience in business. I'm serious. People think he was a business genius. No, I'm sorry. He didn't even start a peanut and popcorn stand in a stadium. He had done nothing. He probably didn't even have a Kool-Aid stand when he was a kid. This guy had no business experience whatsoever. He had been a congressman, and he had been the Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration, the Reagan-Bush administration, and the elder Bush. It might have been the elder Bush administration. When the elder Bush started privatizing military functions. And then the elder Bush leaves office, Dick Cheney leaves office, and he instantly becomes, with no experience in the corporate sector whatsoever, instantly becomes CEO of one of the most powerful corporations on the planet, Halliburton. Now, if you don't think that's truly bizarre, our tax dollars going to these corporations, and people say, our corporations can do it better. Yeah, right. That's why when a GI gets his leg blown off, he's got to pay $8 a day to a corporation for the food that is served to him in the hospitals because they're privatizing these things. That's why the costs in the PX are so high now over in Iraq that mothers here in the United States are organizing to buy things like Desinex and socks to ship to Iraq, because buying them locally and mailing them is cheaper than having the GIs there buy them from the PX, because the PX are now run by for-profit corporations. They've jacked up the prices. Yeah, a private corporation may be able to do things more efficiently and more cheaply, but that doesn't mean that they will offer it to the consumers more cheaply and more efficiently. They have to make a profit. They have to pay their shareholders. They have to pay their CEOs their hundreds of millions of dollars in salaries. Our tax dollars should never, or only in the most extreme of circumstances, go to private for-profit corporations, particularly in circumstances where there isn't clear, open, transparent accountability. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And John in Long Beach, California is on the line. John, thanks for waiting. This is the Tom Hartman Program. You are on the air.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, John.
You know, before I say well, I'll preface it by saying that there's a lot of people who are conscientious, who are concerned about what's happening in the country and in the world. But there's also a hell of a lot of people that don't give a damn. To give you an idea, every time I get a chance to, I go on a rant about Walmart and how bad they are. And I've had people say to me, well, what's wrong with Walmart? I mean, hell, I can go there and buy stuff a lot cheaper than I can other places. Why shouldn't I? Even after I explain to them why they shouldn't.
Why shouldn't they, John?
Well, because they've got 37 labor laws. Suits against them. In some areas, they shut the doors at 5 o'clock, make the people work overtime without pay to clean up the store, and on and on. They get all their goods from China, which uses slave labor, will pay their people about 55 cents a day. If Walmart did not have China to get their goods from, they probably wouldn't even be in business.
I don't know, my biggest gripe against Walmart, John?
What's that?
My biggest complaint against Walmart is that they go into local communities. See, I believe that democracy works best when power is at the local level, when the majority of power is at a local level. And democracy works best as a local thing. And there were local communities all over the United States who had passed laws that allowed them to protect themselves from predatory out-of-town corporations. And many communities still try to do that. But back in 1936, the JCPenney Corporation sued the state of Florida, took it to the Supreme Court, and claimed that under the 14th Amendment, which was written to free the slaves, that says no person shall be denied equal protection under the law. That's what the 14th Amendment says, verbatim. JCPenney said, we, this corporation, this multi-state corporation, we are a person. And we should therefore have the same protection that the freed slaves have from discrimination. And if a local community doesn't want us in, that's just like a local restaurant saying that they won't serve black people food. And that's wrong. And therefore, those laws should be struck down. And JCPenney won before the Supreme Court, the court pointing back to an 1886 decision that wasn't even actually a decision. It was just a commentary by the clerk of the court. It's a whole other long story. But in any case, JCPenney established this precedent, which is wrong. And Walmart has been using that as an axe to split apart, like Gallagher, you know, smashing like a ripe melon, local communities all over America who are saying, no, we want to protect our local small business people. We've got hundreds of small businesses. These are our members of our community who own these businesses. These are members of our community who work in these businesses. They provide a good living. They keep our dollars local. They keep recycling. At the end of every night, there isn't a button pushed and all the dollars go like a giant vacuum cleaner to Little Rock, Arkansas. No, they stay here in the local community. The dollars that are spent here in the local businesses end up in the local bank, and they get lent out to other people who want to start local businesses, and it's healthy for us.
Well,
and Walmart says, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to let you do that. We don't really care about your local community. We are going to eat you alive. That's my complaint.
But the other thing is, Tom, and I understand what you're saying. I'm well aware of that. On the other side,
see, it's feudalism, John. That is another demonstration of feudalism. That is the power of rule by the rich in this country, by the rich corporations, corporate rule in this country, and that's wrong. Pardon me for interrupting you, but finish your point here.
What I'm getting at is that they couldn't be in business if people weren't so damn greedy. I mean, oh, I can save a dollar if I buy this product at Walmart rather than at Walgreens or whatever, you know.
John, you're blaming the victims. It's like saying women wouldn't get raped if they didn't wear short skirts. I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
Well, you mean that you tell people that why they shouldn't trade at Walmart, and they go ahead and trade anyway, that they're not responsible?
No, they are responsible to the extent that they think that they're doing the best thing. Everybody, people are all the time doing what they think is the best thing. They're doing, there's two problems here, John. Number one, the average person doesn't realize the issues that you and I are talking about. So they're not making an informed decision. It has nothing to do with them being greedy. They just think they're doing the best thing.
How about when they are informed?
And number two, even when they are informed, you have situations where because Walmart has been, like so much of the corporate aristocracy in America, they have been able to inhale the laws, have to control the politics of state and federal government to get what they want. They have amassed so much power that government of, by, and for, we the people, has now become subordinate to corporate power and interests. Rather than having control over them as it did from the founding of this nation up until the end of the 19th century, that they have so much power that they're able to say to local communities, sorry, you can't stop us. They come in and they wipe out the local businesses. You say, well, people are voting with their feet. They're going to Walmart. Well, yeah, because they don't understand the issues. But then there a critical threshold is reached where all the local businesses are gone. I live in a community in central Vermont where a Walmart came in 6-8 years ago. It was fought vigorously by the local community. But Walmart came, legally, they couldn't be stopped because of this 1936 JCPenney Supreme Court decision. Yeah. They couldn't be stopped. And now, if I want to buy a pillow locally, I have a choice. I can go to Walmart or I can drive 2 hours to the next big city.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Starbucks is doing the same thing.
Sure. But I'm not willing to blame people who shop at Walmart for that situation. I think we need to, number one, educate people, and number two, even more importantly, we need to take back democracy in the United States of America.
We're going to do it.
Three ways. Number one, wake up as many people as possible. Every movement historically that has been successful in the United States, whether it was the abolition movement, the suffrage movement, the prohibition, and then the anti-prohibition movement, every significant grassroots movement that has produced real and lasting change in the United States, or even temporary change, started with a whole lot of people getting really upset. And so step one is to wake up as many people as possible. Step two is to pursue it simultaneously. Excuse me, through the courts and through the legislature, and that's happening right now in the Nike versus Caskey case, where Nike was claiming the corporate right to lie because they're a person and they should therefore have First Amendment rights of free speech. ReclaimDemocracy.org and many other people, one of the groups that sponsors this show, and many other organizations filed amicus briefs with the Supreme Court. My book, Unequal Protection, was quoted in one of them as saying, hey, Nike is claiming a right that never was given by the United States Supreme Court. Corporations are not persons. They do not have First Amendment rights of free speech, just like they shouldn't have 14th Amendment rights against discrimination. And the Supreme Court, nobody knows exactly what happened, but for the first time in a long, long time, after they read the briefs, they said, whoa, we're not going to decide this, and threw it back down to the lower court in California. So you do it judicially as much as you can. You challenge it wherever you can, as often as you can, and there are people all across America doing that. And you do it legislatively. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has declared a 3-year campaign to abolish corporate personhood, to take back democracy. And you can find this on their website, WILPF.org. The Alliance for Democracy, Ronnie Duggar's organization, is doing this. There are groups all across the United States who are working to take it. The city of Point Arena, California, passed a resolution saying in our community corporations aren't persons. 11 communities in Pennsylvania passed laws saying corporations don't have rights of personhood. The state of Nebraska has passed a constitutional amendment saying corporations can't own farms. They're not people. So that's how you do it, Mike. John, that's how you do it. And people are doing it. John,
well,
thanks for the call. You want to wrap it up? I'm sorry.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number, 1-800-825-5937. We've got just a minute in this segment here. Phil is back on the line. Phil in, I'd have to scroll up to see. Where are you, Phil?
I'm in Tampa Bay.
Hey,
hot
welcome,
and humid,
welcome.
Hot and humid.
What's up?
I had to leave the computer and go to the kitchen. I went into the kitchen to have lunch, and something very interesting. I'm preparing lunch, so I turn on the radio, and Mr. Limbo is on. And he is quoting he says, we've got a, you know, he's talking about the interview that the Bushman is going to do with Fox News, and it's going to be put on the air tonight. All right? Now think of that. That's very critical. Now he says the right wing doesn't have any connections between Fox News or whatever. But yet he was able.
Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News, he was a Republican operative in the Reagan campaign.
Right, but here we go. He was able to bring up parts of the interview to play on the radio 10 minutes ago. Yet it hasn't been on television yet. Now, how does he get that? How does he get those audio files?
Yeah.
From Fox News. If these guys are not all connected, that's what I want to know.
Phil, that does not mean conspiracy. That means that Fox News is doing good promotion. That's just good business.
As
much as I dislike Fox News, as much as I dislike Rush Limbaugh, that's just good promotion. If I had interviewed George W. Bush last night and it was going to be on today's show, you can bet that last night I would have been feeding clips of that to every news source out there so that people would promo my show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. This is not the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Right.
This is just good business.
Okay. What I wanted to
Phil,
bring
thanks
up...
for the call. I appreciate it. Keep your eyes and ears open, though. There is a vast right-wing conspiracy out there, and here you are part of the conspiracy of the vast radical middle. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Yeah.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Privatization thing, the whole thing of taking our tax dollars, funneling them through the Defense Department and putting them into the hands of private for-profit corporations where the owners of those corporations in some cases heavily invested in by investment groups like the Carlyle Group, corporations like Halliburton, where the owners of those corporations and the CEOs of those corporations who became multimillionaires like Dick Cheney. This whole process began, according to CBS News, in 1992. The Pentagon, under Cheney, commissioned the Halliburton subsidiary Brown & Root to do a classified study on whether it was a good idea to have private contractors do more of the military's work. Guess what Halliburton told the military about whether or not it would be a good idea for the military to start giving our tax dollars to Halliburton? They said, "Gee, yeah, it'd be a great idea." This is over the top, folks. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mike in Wisconsin's on the line. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi. So when are you throwing your hat into the ring?
Yeah, right. Ain't going to happen, Mike.
You know, it's funny nobody's talking about this. It's funny how even the Democrats, this is really the crux of the issue. It's a lot of things center around this very issue.
Oh, yeah, and then the Democrats are afraid to talk about it because they don't want to harm their own campaign contributions either.
Absolutely. The thing I wanted to ask you about, maybe you have a little information about it. You touched on it with the freedom of speech issue. Yeah. Does this same – I'd like to know what the act was. I heard it was some kind of an amendment that was made that allowed these corporations the same freedom of speech that individuals have.
Well, it hasn't been fully decided yet. It was debated before the Supreme Court and bounced back down. But to a large extent, the Boston versus Bilotti case kicked the doors open for politics for corporations. And that was pretty much the beginning of the really serious corruption of American politics at the beginning of the Reagan era. But it all goes back to an 1886 Supreme Court case called Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad. And it'll take longer than we have now to describe it. But I wrote a book about it called Unequal Protection. And most of the relevant stuff you can find on the website, unequalprotection.com or tomhartman.com. There's a whole long description about it. It'll give you all the background you need. Mike, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting, the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE American Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An apparent suicide car bombing near the UN compound in Baghdad today has killed an Iraqi security guard along with the suspected bomber. At a news conference earlier in Baghdad, the military spokesman for Iraq's coalition forces, Lieutenant Colonel George Crevo, questioned the logic of those behind the attack.
The United Nations, which has no mission here except helping the people of Iraq, has been subjected to another cowardly act in which mainly the people of Iraq have been hurt. This is the height of absurdity for an individual to kill himself in order to kill innocent civilians on a humanitarian mission.
17 other people were injured in that explosion. Military officials say the bomber wanted to get into the headquarters building but was forced to detonate his explosives in the parking lot because of tightened security around the building. Democratic Senator Joe Biden is blasting what he calls the Bush administration's overhyping of pre-war intelligence on Iraq. Biden made his accusations yesterday on Fox News Sunday.
The truth is the president's people did hype the sense of urgency of what the threat was that was out there. They didn't lie about it, in my view. They hyped it.
Biden said the White House was quick to point out the worst-case scenarios only regarding Iraq, and most of what the public heard was more speculative than factual. Biden also said he didn't think the nearly $90 billion more President Bush wants to fund rebuilding Iraq and Afghanistan will be enough. He also urged the international community, particularly NATO members, to get troops on the ground in Iraq. Israeli forces say they killed a suspected Hamas militant today and also demolished the West Bank home where he had taken several people hostage. Soldiers and the suspect exchanged gunfire after troops had surrounded the house with 15 jeeps as well as tanks and a bulldozer. An Israeli military source insists the operation did not begin until the residents of that house were allowed to leave. And as the eastern seaboard mops up after Hurricane Isabel, another menacing storm is threatening Mexico's Baja Peninsula. Hurricane Marty is a Category 2 system with 100-mile-an-hour winds. People near the resort area of Cabo San Lucas have been evacuated from along the coastline. Out east, meanwhile, over a million customers are still without power after Isabel's visit last week.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... but on the inside, I'm all... just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Blacks and Hispanics say they feel they're getting shorted when it comes to health care. A study published in the journal Health Affairs says U.S. minorities are three times more likely than whites to believe they haven't gotten appropriate care. But only one in five whites felt that minorities were cheated in their care. Researchers in Iceland say they've discovered the first gene that might lead to a stroke. The New York Times says people with this particular version of the gene are up to five times more likely to have a stroke. The researchers say the gene's detection could now help them determine just how a stroke actually works.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Bodad, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
An envoy from Indonesia has arrived in Burma now to push for the release of detained opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi. However, as far as correspondent Celia Hatton reports from Beijing, it now seems less certain the envoy will be allowed to meet with her in person.
Special envoy Ali Alatas seemed less confident he would be able to meet with Ms. Suu Kyi as she recovered from a recent operation. Analysts hope that the Burmese government will use Ms. Suu Kyi's poor health as a face-saving reason to release her into house arrest ahead of a meeting of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations in Bali next month. Ms. Suu Kyi was imprisoned without trial in May after her supporters clashed with members of the ruling military regime. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And the UN General Assembly is holding a one-day session on the global AIDS epidemic today. About 42 million people are suffering from HIV and 6 million have full-blown AIDS. The head of the Global Fund, which was set up 2 years ago to combat the spread of the disease, says AIDS is now a pandemic and out of control. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On her way to Oz, Dorothy feared lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no! But they're child's play compared to critters who might homestead in your car. Oh, yes! When I come back, I'll name names. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those, too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You think Noah had it rough managing all those beasts? At least he had an ark, but some of them might hole up in your car. According to Pennzoil's survey of 16,000 auto technicians, culprits for some repairs were furry, feathery, or scaly, like chickens trapped in air filters, squirrel nests in the AC, snakes wrapped around brake rotors, and rats storing dog food in exhaust pipes. But wait, don't call the Pied Piper. Have your vehicle checked out regularly by a qualified technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome, patriots from coast to coast. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're also streaming live across the world on the internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that stuff at tomhartman.com. Links to our show archives, links to our chat room, where you will now find live a whole bunch of folks sitting there having one of the most fascinating conversations you'll ever see on the internet. And also, we're streaming live around the United States, across the United States, coast to coast, border to border on the Sirius satellite radio system, as well as, of course, on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Economic news this hour. Why does the economy always fall apart in conservative administrations? Why? Why is it that this happened? Remember the Reagan recession? Remember the Bush 1 recession? Now we got another Bush recession? Why is it that history shows that you can go all the way back to 1871? I mean, the Republicans really only emerged. Their first big national candidate was Abraham Lincoln, and really only formed after the Civil War. Go all the way back to 1871 and track the stock market
from 1871 to today, then Democratic presidents, the stock market always consistently outperforms by at least 2 percentage points Republican administrations year after year after year after year. Why? What's going on? What's happening with our economy right now? Are we on the edge of a depression or are we a deflationary depression, or are we on the edge of hyperinflation? What are the dangers that we are facing? Why are so many people becoming poorer, working harder and making less money? We're going to get into those issues this hour in some detail. First, we got a call on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Dallas was kind enough to hold over the top of the break. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Mark?
Well, I'm okay, and hopefully I'll get better.
There you go.
I appreciate all the angst. Kind of a question slash observation. You have made the comment several times over the last several weeks about things people can do, and you've mentioned correspondence committees.
Yes.
And I will say I've
committees of correspondence is what they
are. Yeah, committees
called.
Of correspondence, right. And I will say that I've had similar ideas, but trying to get people to rally, to implement some of these practical things that people can do on a local level has proved very difficult. So the question to you as a historian is, what's the tipping point? How much angst does there have to be in the population before you can actually get people to stand up and participate in those activities that will make a difference?
Well, I think we've reached it, and I think that the explosion of popularity for Howard Dean demonstrates that.
Well, one suggestion then, to the extent that you can, you like to talk about the high-level issues, you might think about weaving in over the next couple weeks the practicalities of things that people can do, because I think the Committee of Correspondence is a perfect example. And for those that might know, what it means is essentially a group of people get together and they decide that they're going to focus in on sending out letters of criticism, essentially, to the media, for example. So you could, you know, choose your local newspaper or two local newspapers, and every week you send out one or two letters. And over time, you build up this nice trail of criticism that eventually somebody's going to have to respond to.
Yeah, and not just criticism, positive suggestions as well. This is how the suffrage movement succeeded in the United States. This is how the abolitionist movement in the United States succeeded. And you go back and you look, this is actually how the American Revolution first got going, mm-hmm. was these twin pillars. One was committees of correspondence, people writing letters to the editor of newspapers and making noise in public, mm-hmm. and doing it in individually. But, you know, with the not consent, what do you call it, enthusiastic support of each other.
Right.
And that being one of the ways that they did it. And it's by there are several organizations that are doing this, mm-hmm. that are doing this right now, Mark. I've got a link off my website. It says Write Your Reps, I think is what it says. It's over on the left-hand side. If you go to TomHartman.com, it's right there under Other, mm-hmm. on the left on the nav bar. And that one points to the one that People for the American Way has.
Right.
And People for the American Way has, and it's a form. You can fill it in, push the button, and boom. You know, you type it, you put in your zip code, and it says who your elected representatives are. And you can. And I know that MoveOn.org has one as well.
Right.
And so the committees of correspondence are forming, and the conservatives have them too, by the way, and they're substantial. The Republican National Committee is one of the better ones, rnc.org. Mm-hmm. And you can use that one, by the way. You go to rnc.org, and you can send letters to your local newspaper. You can just change their form letter, which says, I love President Bush. Type in your own words.
Right.
ConservativeAlerts.com has one as well. There's a number of them out there on both sides. So I think that, you know, people are organizing these things. So. Yeah, it's a start, but I will continue to mention that.
Okay.
And you know, continue to spread the good word. Thanks, Mark, for the call.
Thank you, bye-bye.
I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Robert in Santa Fe is on the line. Robert, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
As a follow-up sort of to the last speaker or caller, I think the way it is that, you know, Americans in general who don't know a lot of the particulars are beginning, you know, to get the idea of, you know, what that there's something wrong here. But I think if they knew even a small part of what a lot of us know, you and I and other people, that they would, you know, even maybe quickly turn against this administration. And in that regard, what I would like to see people have access to, and maybe you know where to get this, is kind of a synopsis of some of the more onerous documents that are in play here. For example, the project for a new American century, which is on the web at 90 pages. But if we could get a synopsis of that, the highlights of that, also Patriot Acts 1 and 2, and spread that word around through letters to the editor, pamphlets, whatever, where people can quickly see what these things are about, don't have to read 90 pages off the internet or something like that. And so what I was going to ask you, or maybe one of your listeners, is there access to an outline already made up on these kind of things?
You know, it's a good question. I think that there needs to be one. I'm not sure that there is one. There may be one. If somebody knows of one, give us a call or drop in, post it on our message board, and I'll read it on the air. Or come into the chat room and let us know, or call 1-800-TALK-YES. What I do when I'm looking for information on these topics is very often I'll go to the commondreams.org website, which is excellent. I mean, there's a number of very good news websites. Buzzflash is another one, Alternet, TomPaine.com. Alternate.org, they're all excellent, and I applaud them all. And so it's really more a matter of kind of personal preference than anything, I suppose. And I write a lot for Common Dreams, although these other sites pick up my things as well. In fact, I've got a piece that went up last Friday on Common Dreams, so it's on their homepage right now on commondreams.org about George Bush lying to Congress. And with Google and with most of the search engines, there's a feature where you can search within a domain. So you can, if you go to commondreams.org and you've got that up, and then you go and then you do a Google search within the domain of commondreams.org, you'll find only the articles that have been written in that particular domain. So you're not going to get all the fluff, and you're not going to get all the right-wing spin, and you're not going to all the blogs and things. You're just going to get good, insightful, cogent analysis, and you put in Project for a New American Century and search the commondreams.org site, and you'll find a number of very well-written articles about it. So, pulling it together in one place might be a good idea. I've written on a lot of these topics, and if you just go to tomhartmann.com and click on Tom's articles on democracy, my writings on democracy, you'll find a whole collection of articles on the topics that I talk about on this program, which include those things. But somebody ought to pull them all together into a book. At this moment, I don't know of one that's out there. I'm working on one right now called The Athens Experiment, but it's more about democracy in general than this kind of contemporary crisis that we're facing, although there's going to be a good chunk of that in it. But good point, Robert. Good one.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
I appreciate that. What is happening with our finances? What is happening with this economy right now? Here we have, for example, the Wall Street Journal. This is last week in the Wall Street Journal. There was an article that talked about what people do when they get their tax break money and want to invest it. You will recall George W. saying that the reason why we had to have tax breaks was so that we could be making, that we could create jobs, right? I mean, that was the whole rationale.
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than 1 million new jobs by the end of 2004.
Right. And so, he said this in 2001, and he got his tax breaks. Did he make any jobs? No. And then he said this in 2002, and he got his tax cuts, his tax breaks for the rich, and did it make any jobs? No. So he said it in 2003, and did it make any jobs? No. And, of course, the economy is going to be getting better over the next year and a half. I guarantee you. Because this government is spending so much money on the credit card of our children, particularly in Iraq, But they're giving that money to American contractors. A lot of that money is coming back to the United States, and it is going to pump up the economy somewhat. But the article in the Wall Street Journal was, what do billionaires do with their tax? But, you know, keep in mind, the top 10% of Americans got an average tax break this year of $100,000 a person. The top 10%. You have to have a net worth of $2.47 million to be in the top 10% of American tax wage earners. And those people got an average $100,000 a person tax break. Where did they invest that money? According to the Wall Street Journal, on September 17th, the tax breaks for the rich generated an investment boon for China. China will remain the world's hottest destination for direct investment this year, topping the U.S. for the second year in a row, says the Wall Street Journal. This is the Tom Hartman Program, straight to the heart of truth. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
It's time for another trip into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you into the dark hole of corporate claims about the virtues of their packaged food products. Our guide is Consumer Reports magazine, which probes the crassness of commercialism every month. Here's a pick to get us started. Dairy Fresh. If you like fresh cream in your coffee, you might reach for this. Unless you happen to see the fine print confessing that ultra-pasteurized Dairy Fresh never saw the inside of a cow barn. It's non-dairy creamer. Then there's the big summer sausage that the Hillshire Farm proudly labels Yard O' Beef. Now that's a hunk of sausage. But it's not a yard-long hunk by any stretch of the imagination. More like a foot and a half. But 16 1/4 inches O' Beef just wouldn't have the same zing. So what the hell? Call it a yard. Let's give credit for truth in packaging, though, to the Dole Company. Its bag of peeled mini carrots has this reassuring disclosure right on the front. Contains carrots. If you think it's absurd that Dole would feel it necessary to tell us that its bag of carrots contains carrots, you've not tried the Brie and Peppercorn Gourmet Spread. Flip the box over to read the list of gourmet ingredients, and the only cheese it mentions is cheddar. Keep flipping the box, and you'll finally solve the mystery when you find this bit of small type. Brie-type flavor. Apparently, though, we can rest assured that the peppercorns are real pepper, not pepper-type flavor. The consumer who's most disappointed with product packaging, however, has to be the fellow who eagerly cracked open his fortune cookie and found not a message of hope, mystery, insight, humor, or good luck, but this crass pitch. Promote literacy. Buy a box of fortune cookies today. This is Jim Hightower saying that's clear grounds for a deceptive packaging lawsuit, or at least another cookie.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Speaking to you from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We have Jim on the line. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, on his way to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jim, how you doing today? Maybe Jim has dropped off. That's what happens when you... When you use these cell phones,
other than irradiating your head and glowing in the dark.
Okay, we're going to give away a book here. I've been talking about this corporate personhood stuff. Some of you know I wrote a book about it. It's called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And if you would like to win one, a free autographed copy, be the first person to call 1-800-TALK-YES with the answer to this question. That's 1-800-825-5937. Be the first to correctly answer this question. The first person to correctly answer this question will win the book. But we've got Jim back, and he's on the cell phone. So let's take Jim's call here, and then I'll give you the question. We'll do the contest. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Having a hard time holding you today, Tom.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Jim. I appreciate your patience. What's up?
That's fine. A couple of things. I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I dropped into my election commission, and I was talking to the lady there about the voting machines, and she's aware of a lot of the problems, and they're looking into a lot of different types of machines and doing backgrounds on the companies and all that. So she assured me that, you know, they were going to, you know, try to take care of that, any problems. And she did bring up that that a lot of people, especially older people, are very concerned about Social Security and about the Patriot Act. And she said, she told me, she had more people to transfer from Republicans to the Democratic Party in the last year than she has had in the last 5 years.
Oh,
so that's the glimmer of hope.
What was the community, Jim?
I live in Middle Tennessee, of all places.
Remarkable.
And so something's going on. I don't know, but something's going on.
There's a change in the wind.
There's definitely a transfer of wealth from the common coffers of our government to the wealthy and the corporations. There's not a doubt about that. Before the president and the vice president took office, they had to file net worth statements. It'd be interesting to see their net worth statements after they leave office. I'd also like to know about the Carlyle Group and see what kind of returns they're making over the last 2 or 3 years. And I'll
they're making out like bandits, Jim. They're making out like bandits. They are doing. I mean, they're defense contractors. They primarily invest in the defense sector.
Oh, I'd love to know the returns they're making. But I'll hang up and let you talk about that. And I appreciate the program so much.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the call. You're going to hang up and let me rant on. Well, I'll do that after this break we've got coming up here. Let me just first give you this question, and then we'll get to this. Which of the following officials, which of the following government officials has never, as far as anyone knows, expressed any doubts about the official version of the JFK assassination, that is, that Oswald acted completely alone? Was it who has not expressed a doubt, who has never expressed a doubt? Which of these people has never expressed a doubt about the official version? LBJ, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Robert Kennedy, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy, or Chief Justice Earl Warren, who headed up the Warren Commission? Which of those persons, LBJ, Nixon, Reagan, Robert Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, or Earl Warren, has never expressed a doubt about the official version of the JFK assassination? Call 1-800-TALK-YES with the right answer, and you'll win a book. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she says, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my Molloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, need to stop.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kick it off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for
my
now, listen to us
Americans,
live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Molloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory garden. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat. In America, can't get away with that. On the eve of this destruction again, and he's got the knack. He's the cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Yes, welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And, of course, you got it. I had set up the contest a couple of times. I mentioned the first caller with the right answer. But going into the break, I said, call with the right answer. And I thought, whoa, but the microphone was already off. It was too late. Sometimes those words just slide. Anyhow, we have a winner, but apparently our board operator has lost our winner. So I can't tell you who it was or where he's from. I'm sorry, but somebody won the book. So I guess that makes good theater. Okay, the Fed holds steady on interest rates, cites deflation risk. That's not what I want to do. Here, this is. Let's get back to this thing here. Next generations. Why does the economy always fall apart in conservative administrations? Why is that? Well, you say, wait a minute, come on, you can't mean that. Well, yeah, actually, there's a couple of interesting dynamics here. If you look at the election cycles, consistently. And you'll find this, by the way, on right-wing websites as well as left-wing websites. They just have different reasons for why. But you can go back to from 1871 to today. If you track from 1926 to today and you put the Great Depression in there, it becomes even more conspicuous. It's about a 5% difference. Democrats produce better returns in the stock market than Republicans, than Republican administrations. Why? What would cause that? Now, here's a couple of other interesting statistics. If you look at the election cycles from 1952 to 2000, and I got this from dailyspeculations.com website, but it's actually from MSN Money originally it was published. This is, you know, somebody must have published this study. It's all over the place. You can find this all over the internet. And if you look at the elections, the four-year cycle, starting in 1952 and coming all the way up to today, you find that the first year after the election, the economy doesn't do so well. Typically, it grows around 4.6%. The second year after the election, it even is worse, 4.2%. The third year after the presidential election, it jumps up to 17.6% average, and the fourth year, 10.5%. Why is it, regardless of whether it's a Democrat or Republican in the White House, that we see this over and over and over again? By the way, Robert Schulman of Albuquerque, New Mexico, the winner of our book. Congratulations, Robert. And thank you very much for calling in with the correct answer. The correct answer, by the way, I was going to have Robert come on the air and give us the answer. The correct answer, the only one of those folks who never expressed doubts about the JFK assassination was Ronald Reagan. But he was, of course, Reagan was never known as a deep thinker. So, Robert had to get back to work. So thank you, Robert, for calling in. I appreciate it. Didn't mean to pick on Steve and John, they're running the board. You guys are doing a great job. Sorry if it came across that way. When two opposing houses are in Congress, in other words, if you have a Republican president and a Democratic House of Representatives, a Democratic Senate, the Dow Jones average for that year will be 8.4%. If you have one opposing house, it'll be 7.7%. If there are no opposing houses, it drops down to 6%. Again, regardless of parties. Now, this demonstrates the vitality, the importance of a two-party system, of having an adversarial two-party system. And this is one of the things that concerns me so much, because today's cons are working so hard to destroy the two-party system in America. And when they can't win an election, they try to take it by any means possible, whether it's illegal redistricting. Redistricting is only supposed to occur after a census, which occurs every 10 years, and those years that end with zero. It's written into the Constitution when the census will occur. And the cons say, oh, yeah, we had redistricting in Texas in 2000. It was agreed on by the Democrats and the Republicans. It was done by a judge because they fought about it so much. But now that the Republicans have enough votes to control the House and Senate in Texas, we're gonna rewrite our districts. We're gonna change and dump some of the Democrats that are in the United States Congress right now. This is not democracy. Overthrowing, 8 months after Gray Davis is elected, you've got Daryl Issa dumping, you've got people for a dollar a name. They're standing out in front of supermarkets with petitions that say, save our schools in great big letters. And down at the bottom in tiny print, it says, a petition to recall Gray Davis. And they're asking people to sign the petition. That isn't democracy. This is not what the founders of America had in mind. I'm sorry, my friends. Anyhow, what I was saying about the election cycle, you always see the economy uptick the year before the presidential election and the year of the presidential election. And the reason is pretty obvious. The year before the presidential election, the first 2 years after the election, they have to let the steam out from the damage that was done just before the presidential election. And the year before and the year of the presidential election, whoever's in power is pumping the economy for all it's worth. They're spending money like a drunken sailor. And they're putting it on a credit card. I'm telling you, it's just like Ronald Reagan running up the United States debt into the trillions of dollars for the first time in the history of the world. And now George Bush doing the same thing. You say, well, we had good times under Reagan. Yeah, eventually. But look at the cost. If I give you a credit card that has a $200,000 credit limit on it and say, here, go out and spend all you want for the next 6 months. Let's see if it looks like you're affluent. What do you think's going to happen? If I give you a credit card with a $200,000 spending limit and I say you can spend up to $200,000 on this thing, have fun, and by the way, you're not going to have to pay it back. All of our children will. Well, you might be sufficiently moral not to spend the money, not to go into the credit limit of that credit card. But I can tell you, George Bush is not. And it's not just about he's a bad guy. I'm not just picking on George Bush. There is no shortage of people who would do that. Ronald Reagan started the trend. This is the conservative agenda. Who cares about the future? Grab as much power as you can now. Destroy two-party democracy in the United States of America. Go for one-party rule. This is dangerous, folks. This is a dangerous situation. The United States is in danger. Thomas Jefferson, our quote for the day, Thomas Jefferson said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. It's time to speak up! 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our phone number here at the IE America Radio Network, and Dave in Chicago is on the line. Dave, how's the Windy City today?
Kind of soppy and wet.
Okay, what's up, Dave?
I think it all boils down to two words, which is cheap labor, because if the economy's bad, there's a great pool to dip into of people that will do anything for next to nothing because they're over a barrel. That's why there's always a bad economy under the Republicans.
Do you remember, I don't know how old you are, Dave, but I remember when I was, I'm 52, and I remember when I was a kid that I could, and anybody else who wanted to, who was, 10, 12, 14, 16 years old, could make a pretty good living mowing lawns.
Mowing lawns, paper route.
Yep.
Bus forward.
I got a job when I was 15 years old at Henry's Hamburgers, Flippin' Burgers. The entire place was pimply-faced teenagers.
Actually,
remember
it's
that?
Called McDonald's Acme now.
Yeah. How come today all these jobs are filled by adults?
Because there's no other place to go in this type of economy.
Yeah, there you go. We were.
I'm an IT guy, and I'm constantly receiving phone calls with a three-second delay, and some guy with an Indian accent telling me that, and I'm not trying to single anybody out or sound jingoistic here, but somebody with a foreign accent, after a three-second delay, telling me that his name is Mike Anderson when I call, any number of companies, most notably which yesterday AT&T contacted me on a sales pitch using this outsourced call center.
Right,
and I thought,
India.
Wow, American Telephone and Telegraph. is not buying American.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand, Dave, transnational corporations have no national loyalty. And when the whole conservative agenda is not about nationalism or democracy in the United States of America or in any other nation. It is about a one world, and I realize this is sounding like it's the edge of that right wing nutcase conspiracy stuff, but it really is about free trade all over the world for corporations.
For corporations, and that's all.
But it's not free trade for you and me.
You need to buy American.
If you want to go outside the, if you want to come back in the United States with more than $10,000 in your pocket, they will throw your butt in jail if you do not declare it.
That's right. But
if you want NAFTA
and they love free trade because there's a huge supply of desperately poor people in the third world who are over a barrel and willing to work cheap. Again, cheap labor conservatives.
Exactly. Cheap labor conservatives is the buzz phrase, and it boils the whole thing down. If you want to move to India, if you want to move to Canada, if you want to move to Sweden or Norway, you've got to go through a huge song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get visas. You have to get, if somebody wants to come to the United States, look at what they have to go through. Human beings, no, this is not free for human beings. But if AT&T wants to set up shop in Canada, they can do it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, not a problem.
They can do it in a half hour.
Thus avoiding taxes here.
Sure. Well, maybe not. Yeah, Bermuda is where they go to avoid the taxes.
I think any company that goes outside the country to do business or to hide themselves should not be allowed to do any business with our government. And if they made it that way, then one company. Like,
yeah, it goes beyond that, Dave. It goes in 1884, before the United States Constitution was ratified, was when the United States as a nation, and we were just, it was just the ragged end of the Revolutionary War, was Tench Cox pushed this stuff through. Most people never heard of Tench Cox, T-E-N-C-H-E-C-O-X-E. Tench Cox was a fascinating figure in the American Revolution. He knew everybody. He was a businessman. He was the guy. He was like the deal maker. He was the guy behind the, I don't know what a good metaphor for today, because all of today's metaphors would seem corrupt, you know. Like Dick Cheney was Donald Rumsfeld, rather, was the main lobbyist for the Star Wars program before he became Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Tench Cox was a businessman who was always participating in government, not in ways that helped his business, but in ways that he believed helped democracy. So he was a politically active businessman in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. And there's only been really one good biography written about him. It's called Tench Cox. And it was published back in the 50s. And he almost single-handedly pushed through the first tariff through the Continental Congress in the United States, the first law that said that if a country outside the United States, if somebody in the United States wants to import something from outside the United States, that we're going to add a tax to the cost of that if it's something that is also produced in the United States and its import would be competitive with our domestic industries. And that tax is going to reflect the difference in cost between the production of that product offshore and the production of that product here. Whereas if somebody is importing something that you can't get here, we're not going to tax it. So if you want to import brie cheese or you want to import French wine, something that wasn't being made here, very low taxes or no taxes. But if you want to import something that they are making here, like sweaters, we're going to protect that industry.
Sure.
And this, free trade does not help everyone. Free trade ultimately reduces everyone. A true free trade system, as is being promoted by these cons, ultimately takes everybody to the level of poverty of the third world, because there just isn't that much wealth to go around. There's 6 billion of us, and more than half of the 6 billion of us are living on less than $2 a day. Do the math. It's really, pardon me if I sound like I'm raving at you, Dave, but your point is spot on. I appreciate your calling, thanks for
having me on, and thanks for being there
sure.
for me.
Oh, yeah. Day after day, here we are, exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 12 minutes before the hour, by the way. Why does the economy always fall apart in conservative administrations? The first reason is because their first priority is cronyism. Giving what they can to big corporations and to the wealthy who are their constituents. This is nothing new. This goes back to the battle between the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans, who we now call Democrats, back in 1790. Alexander Hamilton stood up on the in the halls of the Continental Congress when they got together in 1787 to write a constitution, and the first thing he said, his opening speech, he said something to the effect of, I don't have the exact quote right in front of me, but this is awful close, something to the effect of, there is no finer institution or form of more stable form of government that has ever been created than monarchy. There are people out there who really and truly believe, and they're well-intentioned, and they really think it's true, and they think it's the best thing for America. And we have to acknowledge that they are not evil people, and they are not doing this because they hate this country. But they really believe that the United States and the world will run better if there is a small, well-educated, very smart, very powerful, very wealthy elite who make all the decisions. And that the rabble, to use the phrase that John Adams used to use to describe voters, the rabble cannot be trusted to make decisions. And that was the primary divide between the Federalists of John Adams and the Democratic Republicans of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Monroe. And Monroe. That's today is still the core issue. And so when these guys get into power, they say, hey, we're not about the rabble. We're about the ruling elite. Let's give us some more money, they say, and the economy falls apart. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, as my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that for Ziggers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle, it's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. George Bush inflicts compassion on poor, hungry, and jobless. This is an article from the Boulder Daily Camera. The average net worth, well, actually, this is from the from Rory Sherman, editor in chief of Trust and Estates magazine. The average net worth of the top 10% of households increased by 30%. To $2.75 million. Average income, assets, and home value, the top 10% also increased by 39%, 21%, and 31% respectively. Thanks to the tax cuts, those with incomes in excess of $1 million a year have had tax savings of over $100,000. And yet, the number of people living in poverty in the United States is going up. It grew by 1.3 million people during just the second year of the Bush administration, and the majority of those are children. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Brian in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Brian, what do you think about all this?
Well, it's a joke. Unfortunately, the joke is on us, but a couple observations. One that... the point you made about some conservatives really believe this is the way to prosperity for everybody, and I agree there are a few, but I do think that the neocons currently in power are just carpetbaggers. They're riding this baby for all it's worth, and have no illusions that what they're doing is good for everybody. They're just getting what's theirs as soon as they can.
Well, I think there's actually a Dickensian notion here that is grounded in a misinterpretation of Darwin. They say, well, you know, the poor are not as worthy as we are. They are, or a Calvinistic notion of, you know, who's blessed by God and who isn't. You know, the preordination, predetermination. And so some people are poor. So and poverty even goes up. So more, there's more child abuse, there's more spouse abuse, there's more homicides, there's more suicides, there's more bankruptcies, there's more people dying. You know, that happens. You know, but we are the blessed class. We are the wealthy few, and we are the ones who are destined to rule. And so it's an okay thing.
Well, I agree. There's elitism. They're fooling themselves in a lot of ways. I think one of the things that I find kind of exciting about all this, though, is that just to use the example of Walmart.
Brian, we gotta wrap it up in about 2 seconds here.
Okay. Well, Walmart having products made in China so their employees can buy them is a zero sum game.
There you go. I agree, Brian. That's it. We're up against the wall. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the side.
You have been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. A suicide bomber has blown himself up just outside the UN headquarters in Baghdad, killing himself and a security guard. 19 other people were injured. Because of last month's deadly bombing at the UN building, security perimeters were set further away from the UN, and that's where the bombing took place, at a checkpoint for the entrance to a parking lot. UN spokeswoman Antonia Paradella says workers in Baghdad need to be safe.
How many more people need to die for the UN to operate here? I mean, we need to operate in safe conditions, in conditions where we can work with Iraqis to improve key infrastructure, to give key humanitarian assistance in a very difficult time in Iraq.
A UN official says the UN is reconsidering the level of its commitment to post-war Iraq, and meetings in New York are discussing whether UN workers are safe in Iraq at this time. Israeli forces killed a Hamas militant and demolished the West Bank home where he had taken the current residents hostage. Gunfire was exchanged after troops surrounded the house with 15 jeeps, 2 tanks, and a bulldozer. An Israeli military source says the operation didn't begin until the residents were allowed to leave. After a fatal car accident, South Dakota Congressman Bill Janklow says he gives his future a lot of thought. The first-term Republican congressman speaking out for the first time since being involved in an August traffic accident that left a motorcyclist dead. Janklow says he's uncertain about his future.
I don't know what's appropriate at this point in time, candidly. There's things more important than politics to me. I understand mortality probably better than most.
Authorities say Janklow was speeding through a stop sign when the accident occurred near Sioux Falls. Former Illinois Senator Carol Moseley Braun has formally announced her candidacy for president. She's the first African-American woman to seek the White House since Shirley Chisholm in 1972. Braun heavily criticized President Bush's Iraqi and economic policies. More in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thousands of people are still without power due to Hurricane Isabel. Schools remain closed in much of the Mid-Atlantic. Casualties are being reported by people working on utility crews as they try to get the area back to normal. Some estimate the power won't be restored to all parts of Virginia until the end of the week. Hurricane Marty is heading northward along the east coast of Baja California. Mexico has extended hurricane warnings for the areas that are in the storm's path. It's proceeding at 15 miles an hour and has maximum sustained winds near 85 miles an hour. Wall Street, the Dow is down 105 points at this hour. The Nasdaq is off by 29. More after this.
Dad, this race car game is awesome. Want to drive?
Oh, I love that game, but not with a bad headache.
You want to go home?
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Can we stay a little longer?
Let's try virtual reality skiing.
Yeah!
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Executive producer and creator of The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, went out with a bang at the Emmys last night. With a strong track record of 4 years on the air and four Emmys for outstanding drama, Sorkin enjoyed Sunday night's win, but is sad to leave the show.
To have this kind of celebration and this kind of recognition is wonderful, and especially because I remember, you know, what it would do to morale on the set as he went into the new season. So I'm so happy for everybody who gets, frankly, I'm jealous of everybody who gets to go to work on the West Wing tomorrow morning.
Actor Dooley Hill, who plays Charlie Young on the show, says working with Sorkin's replacement is weird and uncomfortable. People in Midtown Manhattan are paying more for parking than anyone else in the nation. Monthly parking in that part of New York City is a wallet-gouging $425 a month. Boston and San Francisco are next most expensive, followed by downtown Chicago, which at just $238 a month seems like a bargain compared to the Big Apple. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to Talk Radio for the rest of us. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. All tyranny, said Thomas Jefferson, needs all the tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Thus, end quote from Thomas Jefferson, thus I am speaking out. I'm telling you, folks, it is time. For those of us who believe in democracy in a constitutionally limited republic as we have here in the United States of America, to stand up and say, we would like our nation back, thank you very much. This was not conceived of as a name, as a corporation of, by, as a country of, by, and for the corporations. The United States was not envisioned as a nation of, by, and for the aggregation of pure capital. Yes, there are those out there. I know there are those out there, and many on the left, in fact, who suggest that the purpose of the United States Constitution was purely to defend the wealthy. The reality is quite different from that. Forrest MacDonald wrote a marvelous book about this called We the People back in the 1950s, 1960s, in which he tells the story of all the people who participated in the creation of the Constitution. There were a number of people who walked out of the Constitutional Convention, wouldn't have anything to do with it, refused to sign the Constitution because it didn't offer adequate protections for the wealthy. It was too democratic, they thought. There were many in the early days of this country who believed that there should be a landed aristocracy, end of discussion. That the only thing wrong with monarchy was that there was a single king who was unanswerable to anybody else, that there should be a council. That we needed to go back to the Cromwells. There had to be a group of people who could, or some kind of balance for the monarch. And that using monarch and king was a bad idea, as just, you know, bad language. And so we have a situation now where corporations can rise up and say, we are willing to kill people and know that we are doing it and lie about it and claim that we have human rights protections to do this. The first time an American tobacco company claimed that they had the right to privacy as a corporation was in the 1930s to hide their secrets about nicotine. Adbusters has a new ad campaign out. The question that they ask at the end of it is, when are they doing enough harm that we, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact phrase because it's on the screen, I only have the audio. They essentially say something to the effect of, at what point do we pull the plug? When do we say they don't have the right to exist if they're doing this much harm? Just consider this testimony before the United States Congress by the senior executives of the largest tobacco companies in the United States just a few years ago.
Please consider yourself to be under oath.
Yes or no? Do you believe nicotine is not addictive?
I believe nicotine is not addictive, yes.
Congressman, cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction.
I don't believe that nicotine for our products are addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
And I too believe that nicotine is not addictive.
Now, one of those men went on to be the head of the IBM Corporation. All of them have done very well. Why aren't any of them in jail for lying to Congress? The tobacco industry has known since the 1930s that nicotine was addictive. Because we have a problem here in the United States. But, let me continue with that in just a moment. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to drop in to the program today. Say hello, offer your thoughts on these topics or others. 1-800-825-5937. And Kim in Columbia, South Carolina is on the line. Kim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. My point is that in the 21st century, under the New World Order, the citizen of the United States is not you and me. We're only taxpayers. The true citizen of the 21st century in America is a corporation.
They certainly think that. I mean, they certainly behave as if they think that. They have hijacked democracy from we the people.
That's right.
And it's wrong.
I don't know if you remember this, but I remember that shortly after John Ashcroft took office, he made a ruling that there was no conflict of interest for corporations to provide free airplane rides to judges going from point A to point B to give speeches and collect honorariums.
I don't remember the details of that, but I'll trust your memory.
That's right. And also, the fact that, stop and think about this, over the years, at one point in time, in no state were there political campaigns for judges.
Sure.
However, over the years, few states, and now more and more are growing, they actually have political campaigns and they run them, and they're financed by big contributions. Now, how
right.
can a judge who's listening to a civil case even give the impression of impartiality if he's taking contributions?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a real problem, Kim. This is, we have... rotten at the core stuff going on in American democracy right now. And the more you look at it, the more you see that it has to do with the influence of corporate money on politics. Do you know how much it would cost if we were to spend all the money that was spent in the 2000 election cycle, in the last presidential cycle, if we were to spend that much money every 4 years to elect the president of the United States, the hundreds of millions of dollars that were spent, you know how much it would cost you and me if we simply made an annual contribution in our, you know, like check the box, right, when we send in our tax return? It would cost us $5 a person. $5 a person in the United States, and you could have fully funded, publicly funded elections, and we could say, sorry, corporations have no business. Even rich people have no business running, you know, putting their money into political campaigns. Political campaigns will be, in England, there's an absolute limit. You can't spend more than £100,000 if you're running for the House of Commons.
Working on changing that.
Yeah.
The American system of advertising is slowly but surely infringing on the British system of running for office. They're also
Tony Blair bought the whole DLC thing, hook, line, and sinker. He's a new Labor, like Clinton was a new Democrat. And when they say new, what they mean is now in bed with corporations.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line.
You know, talking about corporations, people don't pay attention, I don't think, because we lost over $70 billion. I think it was in 2002, 2001. From corporations that paid absolutely no taxes.
Oh, Enron got a tax rebate, as did General Electric.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, nobody ever talks about the billionaires that don't pay any taxes.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about it, Kim. Kim, thanks for the call.
Not the majority of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's time. It's, you know, start waking up and spreading the word. Kim, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling and your comment. And let me, by the way, just be on the record, and I'm sure Kim would agree with this, and probably all of our other callers, that I am not here to tell you that corporations are the problem. I am not anti-corporate. I have started corporations in my life. I've done very well with them. Thank you very much. I like the corporate form. I'm all in favor of it. I own a corporation right now. The problem is that a corporation is not a human being. The Bill of Rights was put in place to protect humans. Fragile, you know, finite lifetime humans from the power of government, which theoretically is we the people. And so we put the Bill of Rights in there saying, so if government ever got out of control, this would restrain it from harming us, because it's supposed to serve us. And when corporations started claiming those rights that were just given to, or just acknowledged for we the people, they were not given to us. The whole point of the Constitution is that we are the holders of the rights, and we are giving specific responsibilities or capabilities to government. That when corporations started to, and there's probably fewer than 1,000 corporations in the United States that are abusing this the way that I'm talking about. This is a small number of very, very powerful companies that claim the First Amendment right of free speech in order to lie. They claim the Fourth Amendment right of privacy in order to hide and conceal crimes or toxicities and dangers. They claim the 14th Amendment right against discrimination in order to force themselves on local communities or to seize control of politics. It's a very small number of very large corporations. This is the cancer at the core of democracy in the United States. I'm telling you, and it's a real problem. Got a couple other things coming up this hour. And this hour, we're going to have a conservative alert coming up. We've got a few other little goodies here and a whole bunch of news. And I want to get a little deeper into this topic. But first, we have Alice in northern New Mexico on the line, 1-800-825-5937, 1-800-TALK. Yes, Alice is called. Alice, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, thanks. Last week in the Albuquerque Journal, it was reported that 46% of people approved of Bush. And it didn't say only 46%. So who do they quote in there? They quote the head of the Republican Party right at the top, saying that considering the economy that he inherited, he was doing so well. Well, I'm tired of the lies. I mean, I'm just looking for where do I want to go live. because I'm old enough that I don't think it'll change in my lifetime. And I'll fight for it to change. But I just want to say I'm tired of the lies. Thanks.
Yeah, this recession officially began in March of 2001, which was 2 months after this administration took power, folks. I mean, go back and read the Wall Street Journal. This is not a secret. Alice, are you gone? I guess you are. Okay, I Alice, well said. I am tired of the lies, too. And the point is, in my opinion, the really important point here is that it's not just that there's some liars who are running the show in Washington, D.C., or running a large portion of the show. It's that our system has been corrupted so that people who would lie, whether they are Republicans or Democrats, can exploit that opportunity. And we must keep in mind that this is a systemic problem. If we start thinking that it's just bad guys and good guys, yeah, it's okay. It's an entirely appropriate thing to think of it as our team and their team, and you know, and people. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. My guy right or wrong, that's okay. But let's keep in mind that the problems that we are facing right now will not be solved if George Bush goes away. The problems are deeper than any one person. As corrupt as this administration is, they are corrupt because the system is allowing it, and that is what we must return to the core values of democracy that our founders clearly laid out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. I've noticed a lot of middle-aged corporate types on motorcycles trying to recapture a rebellious youth they never really had. They hit the highway like a bat out of accounting, but all they seem to be rebelling against is a full head of hair. But they can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 for a place to rest and brush any dirt off their brand new leathers. I'm Tom, born to be mild Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
See the list.
on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why don't I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
$166,000 Bechtel gave to the National Republican Party committees, according to the Center for Responsive... here it is. Where did it go? Center for Responsive Politics, a nonpartisan Washington-based group that tracks campaign finance, quoting from CBS News here. And in exchange for that... Oh, and by the way, back in the 1980s, the San Francisco Chronicle, this is again quoting from CBS, the San Francisco Chronicle reported in January that Bechtel and at least one other U.S. company sold to Iraq, technology that helped build its military in the 1980s. And now, who is making out? More recently, President Bush named Russ Connolly, a former Bechtel executive, as Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, the agency that supports U.S. investment around the globe. And Bechtel is doing all this reconstruction in Iraq. Very strange stuff. Very strange. See, this is more than just... We have a problem here, and it's more than just bad corporations, bad people, or bad governments. It is about a system that can be gamed, and that is going to bring out those who would game the system. By the way, we have a conservative alert. Yes, indeed, folks, a conservative alert. They've been running their focus groups again. I'm telling you, you remember when Newt Gingrich came out with his contract on America and he had his list of words the conservatives should always use and, you know, positive words to describe conservatives? In fact, some of these will probably even sound familiar to you. Newt said that things like, whenever you describe conservatives, you should use words like actively, activist, building, candidly, caring, challenge, change, children, choice, choose, citizen, commitment, common sense, compete, confident, conflict. And on it goes, truth, unique, vision. And whenever you describe liberals, Newt said, you should use phrases like abuse of power, anti-family, bizarre, betray, bureaucracy, cheat, coercion, collapsing, consequences, corruption, criminal rights, crisis, cynicism, decay, destroyed, devour, disgrace. And on it goes. Well, the result of focus groups, you find out what causes people to freak out. And these guys spend a lot of time and money figuring out what are the words that impact people. And now here are the conservatives. And they are quite organized about this. So suddenly we see, all of a sudden, a new phrase making its way into the vernacular, and it appears simultaneously. TomPaine.com reports this anger baiting on the right. James Taranto in the Wall Street Journal talks about the angry left. Fox News Channel's John Gibson. Is Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean as angry as the angry left? When David Corn was on NPR, he was on with the National Review's Brian York, who says that you should look out for the angry left. They've been running their focus groups again, and angry is a more negative word than elite. And it will immunize them against attack ads in 04. If they think that the left is just angry, then if the left says, well, Bush is doing some harm to the country, they'll say, well, that's just, they're angry. You can ignore what they say. So the angry left, our conservative alert for the day, be on the lookout, my friends. You will hear it on the lips of conservatives from coast to coast. The left is now officially angry, and that's a bad thing. And therefore, you can feel free to ignore them, they would say. Cindy on the line. Hang on. We'll take your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
We're pleased to announce tonight that tentative contract agreements have been reached between Yale University and Locals 34 and 35.
With these words, New Haven Mayor John DeStefano announced the end of a three-week strike at Yale University. The contracts cover two locals of the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees International Union, whose previous labor agreements expired a full 19 months ago. On Friday afternoon, a combined 4,000 workers in both unions ratified the eight-year deals by nearly unanimous margins, promising years of peace on a campus accustomed to labor strife. Under the deals, monthly pensions will nearly double, and wages will increase by 44% through January of 2010. Retroactive increases will bring workers an average bonus of over $2,500. The workers return to work today for the first time since the fall semester began.
Don't use a sick day for 6 months. Win $300. That's the proposal from the Vancouver Coastal Health Authority, which manages British Columbia's largest hospitals, clinics, and nursing homes. In an attempt to cut costs, the authorities told all its employees, including nurses and medical technicians, that if they don't take sick days between now and mid-March, they'll be entered in a $300 raffle. The idea doesn't sit well with the workers, though, many of whom call the promotion irresponsible as it increases the chance of endangering already sick patients.
While U.S. labor unions continue to mull over a crowded field of Democratic presidential candidates, organized labor's top official says he'd like another shot at a four-year term. John Sweeney recently announced his intention to run for re-election as president of the AFL-CIO when his term expires in 2005. Sweeney first came to power in 1995 and has twice been reelected.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, tofu, and you.
the best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Was a warm feeling. Help you set aside the sea. Was a warm feeling. Yes, I stand by you.
I could listen to Van Morrison all day. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservative and defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program. 1-800-825-5937. And Cindy in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Cindy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hartman. I'm not around the water cooler this afternoon. I'm waiting in line to pick up my son. And 12 years old and wondering down the road if he's going to be taken into the service because he won't be able to find a job and have to work for the guys that are in power now to continue to support them to live the lifestyle they're living. I mean, when you brought up the words Newt Gingrich said a while ago, I'm glad you did that to remind us all again what nasty people that we're talking about. I couldn't believe his words then, and I can't really believe them now that another American could use words like that just to simply of somebody else that didn't agree with them, Mr. Hartman.
It's called psychological warfare.
That's right. And yes, I totally believe with you that the system is totally corrupt top to bottom, down to the last office worker or working in this particular administration. It stinks because it's rotten. It needs to be treated. If it's a bad tooth, maybe you can treat an abscess with antibiotics, and I would say that would be like having elections, if we're ever allowed to have elections in this country again. But if it's an abscess tooth, then maybe it has to be dug out. Are we going to have a revolution in our country, Mr. Hartman, with guns and that kind of thing?
I sure hope not, Cindy. I think it's time for a revolution in the ballot box. These are issues that we have faced before. This era, in fact, we're going to be doing a show about this later in the week. This era right now is so similar in so many ways to the populist and progressive movement of the late 19th, early 20th century that brought about the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote, that brought about a lot of democratic reforms all across the United States and turned back some of the corporate power that had been acquired during the Gilded Age from the middle 1870s through the 1890s in the charter-mongering era. I think things go in cycles, and I think that that this cycle is coming around again.
Don't lose faith.
Pardon?
Don't lose faith.
That's right.
Don't lose faith in our system.
Yes, absolutely. Our best hope, Cindy, is to wake up as many people as possible because people right across the spectrum are realizing that something's wrong. And daily you've got cons out there on the right saying, yes, there's something wrong, and the solution is to kill off government. Grover Norquist saying, we just want to shrink it down to the size where it's small enough to drag into the bathroom and drown in the bathtub. And killing in a Democrat, I mean, that might have worked in the Soviet Union. You know, killing government might have been a good thing. But in the United States of America, where we have a democracy, a constitutionally limited democratic republic, killing off our government is not the solution. We need to stop those that would harm our government, which is us, those that would harm our commons, those who would pick our pockets by manipulation of power. And the conservative answer to this is give more power to the corporations and less power to government. It's a rise of feudalism and aristocracy, and it is dangerous. It's destructive to democracy in the United States, and we need to speak it out. And I think if enough people do, Cindy, we can take back this country. I really and truly believe it.
I hope so. I just want to add, have we ever faced anything, though, as planned as what's happening to America now, the religious right, the warmongers, the corporations, the greediness, individuals for money? Have we ever faced anything this dangerous that seems to be tumbling down all around us? And instead of all of us saying, well, we're going to move to Canada or England or whatever, let's kick them out. We've got to wake up America to vote you guys out.
Yeah, Cindy, we have had worse times than we have right now. In 1798, John Adams, the second president of the United States, pushed through the Alien and Sedition Acts. This was the first Patriot Act. This was a law that made it a crime to speak out against the president of the United States. And this law was passed because he and his wife, Abigail Adams, were just in a tizzy about the Democratic Republican newspapers, the Jeffersonian, what's now called the Democratic Party newspapers, criticizing John Adams. And he passed this law, and he put 20 editors of various newspapers in prison. 17 of them were still in jail when Thomas Edison became president, or Thomas Jefferson rather, became president in 1800. And the law, in fact, was, as it was enacted, it won by one vote in Congress, and it expired on the day that John Adams was going to leave the presidency. I think, and that back then it was like March 4th, 1800 or 1801. And so they all knew this was John Adams' law, and that the Americans were so horrified by this. I mean, the congressman from Vermont, whose name is escaping me right at the moment, but the congressman from Vermont actually had to campaign for his congressional seat from a jail cell, an unheated jail cell during the winter in Vergennes, Vermont, because he had been thrown into jail by John Adams for speaking out against the president. Similarly, in the 1870s, you saw corporate corruption that was mind-boggling during the era of the big railroad. During the U.S., the Ulysses S. Grant administration was so corrupt that after two terms in office, this Republican president went to the Republican Party and said that he wanted to run for a third term, and they said, no, we will not nominate you, because he was so corrupt. Not he personally, but he had presided over such a corrupt administration. So we have been actually, in my opinion, in worse shape in the past, Cindy, than we are right now. I really think we can bring this back from the edge. It's just, the key to it is waking people up.
Do you think then we'll have legal elections? You know, you've been hearing things about they're going to be messing with the voting, counting again and so forth, and that has me nervous.
Well, it's not anything new. I mean, look at what Mayor Daley did in 1960 in Chicago as soon as he got those mechanical voting machines, where they discovered that if you turned one of those little wheels, one little notch, when somebody pulled one lever, it registered for somebody else.
Right.
Corruption of voting machines goes back to the 50s and 60s when we first introduced voting machines.
I mean, I live here in Florida, where we would just sit. We were sick at what happened in our state in the 2000 election, that is.
And the good news, Cindy, is that the word is getting out. There's a marvelous documentary about this called Unprecedented, a video that you can buy, and I encourage you to pick up a copy of it or rent it from your library or from your video store and share it with all your friends about the 2000 election.
All right, I will do.
And we had Congressman Rush Holt on the program last Tuesday, and he has introduced into Congress, and again, contact your elected representatives and tell them to please support Rush Holt's bill about voting machines.
Okay.
Because you have to have about 170 co-sponsors for a bill to be bulletproof enough to make it out of committee and make it through the House of Representatives.
Okay.
And he's got, I think, 70, he said, sponsors so far, co-sponsors.
Rush Holt's bill.
Rush Holt, right. Rush,
okay.
Like as in that nasty guy.
We won't think of him.
Holt.
Right.
Yeah, and Rush Holt, he's a congressman from New Jersey, as I recall, and a very good man, and he's got a bill that would solve many, not all, but I'd say 90% of the problems with these electronic voting machines, and of course it's being opposed by the Republicans.
Right.
But, you know, contact your elected representatives. The fact that there's so many people talking about this, so many people are waking up, I think the pendulum is swinging back, Cindy. I really do.
That makes me feel better. I need a little
help. Don't don't just feel better and have hope, but do something about it.
I do.
Okay, great. God bless
you,
Cindy.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for the call. Okay, thanks for calling. I very much appreciate it. Thomas Jefferson, our quote for the day, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. It is time to speak out. Business Journals, the online business source, www.bizjournals.com, in one of these business sites here. Personal bankruptcies up, business filings down. A record 440,257 bankruptcy cases were filed across the nation in the second quarter of this year, surpassing the previous high of 412,968 recorded in the first quarter. Now, think about that for a moment. 440,257 families whose lives were shattered. Bankruptcy is a terrible, terrible, humiliating, depressing, agonizing thing. And in the last few years, the Republicans keep coming back and saying, we've got to tighten up the bankruptcy laws. Now, it's still possible. We know that there are many very wealthy Republicans who have declared bankruptcy, and they still have multi-million dollar mansions in Florida and Texas because those states allow you to keep your primary residence. And so, you know, this is one of the reasons why all these Enron guys are building $20, $30 million houses as quickly as they can. It's a way to shelter the money. And the Republicans are not suggesting to change that. I shouldn't say just Republicans. This is not the Republicans. This is the conservatives, because there are conservative Democrats who are on this bandwagon as well. The banking industry wants to make the experience of hitting the wall like this even more humiliating. And what's most depressing about this figure, this during a three-month period, the last quarter, 440,257 families that were devastated by bankruptcy, is that in the 21st century in the United States of America, unlike every other advanced democracy in the world, half of our bankruptcies come about because somebody got sick and the family could not pay the medical bills. And they were wiped out. How can we live with this? How can these people call... You know, what I find so ironic is are the hypocrites on the right who call themselves Christians and clearly have not read Matthew 25, have not never understood, you know, oh, when did we give you food? When did we feed you? When were you hungry? As you have done to the least of these, you have done to me. 440,257 families devastated in the last quarter, surpassing the all-time historic record, larger than during the Great Depression. Of course, there's more people in America than during the Great Depression. There are more people, numerically, there are more people. It's a smaller percentage of our population, but there are more human beings right now in the United States in utter despair, poverty, and destitution. There are more human beings and more families in the United States declaring bankruptcy than in the depths of the Great Depression. And what's the solution? Tax cuts for the rich! Yeah! Cut the capital gains, cut the dividend income tax rate from the 30s, the normal, you know, what everybody else, cut it down to 15% so that if you make your living just sitting on your butt waiting for the check to come from your stock holdings, then you only have to pay 15% interest or 15% tax, whereas if you make your living flipping burgers at McDonald's or working at Walmart because that's the only thing you can find or mowing the lawn for your next door neighbor, you're going to have to pay the full load, buddy. Oh, yeah, they're very compassionate, these conservatives. They're very compassionate. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for a people of good conscience to remain silent in America. Now, lest it sound like all I have to share with you today is bad news, One of the things I mentioned that I've started business, I have started and run a number of companies, seven substantial companies in my life. And several of them have ended up being very large, not very large companies, not like big corporate, you know, but, you know, they did well and are still around. And one of the management tools, probably the most useful lesson in management that I ever learned, is that it's more important to catch people doing things right than to catch people doing things wrong. This is the most common failure of management. Most people think that management means running around with a cattle prod, catching people doing things wrong and poking them in the hope that they'll ultimately start doing things right. And that does work. It does cause people to change their behavior, but the consequences are that they end up demoralized and unhappy, and you ultimately destroy your own organization. So what do you do? What's the alternative? The alternative is to catch people doing things right. When you catch people doing things right and acknowledge them, they want to do more of it. You can ignore, in fact, the vast majority of people's wrong behavior and instead catch them doing things right, and the right behavior will get larger and larger and larger, and it'll crowd out the wrong behavior to the point where the wrong behavior will just go away in most cases. This, by the way, is also a very, very useful tool for child rearing. For 5 years, I was the executive director of a residential treatment facility for severely emotionally disturbed and abused children in New Hampshire. The New England-Salem Children's Village is still there. We started a school there 7 years ago called the Hunter School, hunterschool.org. You can find it on the Internet. And I've raised three kids, so I have some. And I was a kid once. we all know that. But in business, this is particular. So we're going to catch somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, we're going to catch Bob Graham. Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. How can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? The story of, what's his name here, a Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada. He was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done. You're a jolly good fellow, and I mean that sincerely. We're looking for things that we can catch people doing things right. If you spot things, feel free to drop by our message board at www.tomhartman.com and let us know. Drop into our chat room if you'd like and have your say. I got Jeff in Denver on the line. Jeff, I'm going to pick up your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman exposing the con and conservative talk radio for the rest of us here on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You know, this show is a collaborative effort. The folks in our chat room are tremendously useful. It's my support group here, my therapy group. They're going, calm down, Tom. I thank you all so much for being there in the chat room. You can get there if you want to hang out. Go to tomhartman.com on the internet and just click to the chat room. We're going to be moving our chat room, by the way, to a different forum on CompuServe today or tomorrow or the next day. So. Just as an FYI. Also, our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and in Atlanta, Georgia by Joe McPherson and engineered in Detroit by John Lucas and Steve Damschroeder. Just wanted to be sure and let you know that. Jeff in Denver has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Jeff, hey, what's up?
Hi, when you're talking about like rewarding people like Graham and so forth for, quote, good behavior or whatever, that reminds me of the whole thing of like the book Redirecting Children's Behavior, which also just shows how the positive reinforcement really makes a huge difference in our lives, and we need more of that.
But, yeah, it does. It really does.
Which also comes down to this thing of what, you know, people then emulate things that they see, you know, positive aspects to. And looking at our system, what is being emulated? Who is copying our system around the country? I mean, you can judge it around the world. You can judge a tree by its fruits. And Tom Harkin recently said something I think was wonderful. He goes, look at all the developed nations around the world. No one is trying to imitate our medical system.
Right. Surprise, surprise!
And if you look at even people who have copied our basic system of government around the world, you know, as other countries like, say, Australia, they haven't copied our voting system. They have the instant runoff voting. They have other things like that.
You know, I've heard cons actually suggest that there are people in Canada who want to have American medicine. They want to have a medicine like we have here in the United States because they're dying waiting to get an operation and things. And people in Canada and England, but when I lived in Germany where they have socialized medicine, I mean, why don't we just call it that and make it a positive? I lived there for a year, and it was amazing. You just call the doctor's office, say, hey, I want to make an appointment. They say, okay, see you Thursday at 2. You walk in. Here I am. Here's my card. Boom, that's it. No paperwork, nothing.
Yeah, it's great.
It's incredible. Yes. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today on this Truth in Broadcasting program. And tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.